Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Glenn Mack now joins us. Glenn, first of all, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Pleasure. I got to get to that Brewers Outlet.
Yeah, you're going to love it, man. They got everything.
Really good.
it's a long list of goodies in there, man.
Yeah, everything you said I want, yeah.
Hey, now, Glenn, let's start with this. Matt, producer, ace co-host, yep. As usual, after every Eagles preseason game, is in mass panic about everything. So that's why we bring you on, to bring some semblance of perspective to it.
Okay. I hope I can do that.
Okay. Let's start with Marcus Mariota. He was brought there for a reason. Last night's first half, not the prettiest, but what's been the thought process around the organization on him?
Well, you better make sure Matt is strapped in, because I don't have any good news to give you on that. He's looked poor in practice. He looked maybe a little better in the scrimmages that they had against Cleveland, but that's starting at a very low bar. And yep. He has looked dreadful in the two preseason games in which he has played. Now, I'll give you the defense, if there is a defense. It's a new system. He's learning a new system, so he's different. And if you'll notice, when he is playing in these games, the teammates who are playing around him do not include A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and that great offensive line. It includes a lot of guys who will be searching for new careers in a couple of weeks. All that said, Steve, he's been terrible.
Yeah. And now, in the games, McGee's looked good. Okay. Has he looked like that in the scrimmages of practices when he's had his shot in controlled situations?
Yes. Again, it's early in, you know, he's young, he's a sixth round pick. So I think I don't want to set the bar too high.
Right.
But he looks like a guy who is certainly going to at least get a couple years in this league, be a developmental quarterback. I don't know if they're going to keep him on the roster. My hunch is, you know, they'll make him the developmental guy. If they're really smart, they'll do what Andy Reid used to do, which is like flip him to the Dolphins for a second round pick down the road and enjoy that. But he's a kid who I don't know that he's ever going to be a starter, but I do think he's got a couple years in this league. McKee's looked good.
Good. Interesting. All right.
So what I haven't told you yet is that they have somebody who you feel confident going into the season with as a backup, because I don't see that they do right now, and that's
right.
You know, there are bigger problems that teams around the league have than your backup quarterback, but as you know and we know, certainly in this town over the years, backup quarterbacks, they usually end up playing at some point.
Yeah, to me, the role of the backup quarterback, philosophically, in the NFL, I'm not talking about college, but in the NFL, I want you to be good enough with your experience. And I think Vinny Testaverde kind of was one of those really good, quote, backup quarterbacks, where you have enough experience to get me through a couple of games.
Yeah.
You're not the long-term solution, but for a couple of games, get me through two games. If I have to go through the season, we have trouble.
I entirely agree. They've had that in the past. Listen, they won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. That's the greatest example ever. They thought they had that last year with Gardner Minshew. That didn't really pan out. Mariota made a lot of sense in that he is a running quarterback, seemed like he would be able to be somebody who could come in and play if Jalen Hurts goes down. I mean, I'm not, you know, again, it's two halves of two preseason games, which is it's a terrible product, but there's nothing that I've seen that would make me optimistic about Marcus Mariota.
Right. No, I completely understand that. Hassan Reddick, thumb surgery. And then Nolan Smith got banged up last night. Any concern for the Eagles over either one at this point?
No, not particularly. The thumb thing with Hassan Reddick, they say he'll be ready for the start of the regular season, and he will be able to wear a cast over it and play with that. I have to imagine that would, to some degree, reduce his effectiveness. I mean, You know, we all use our thumb every 5 minutes for the entire day. I would think I would want it in a football game, but I he could probably get by. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be silly, but he could probably get by without it for a week or two, or with it being immobilized. Nolan Smith said after the game, "I'm fine. It's my body. Don't worry about it. I'm okay." Now, remember, he missed, I think, 5 or 6 games last year, so I hope that's not a problem. But they did have a couple serious injuries yesterday, and it wasn't the headline guys, but Zach McPherson, backup cornerback, tore his Achilles. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
And they had a couple guys who left with, like, head and neck injuries. Again, backups, Tyree Cleveland, a young wide receiver, look good, and Moro Ajomo. And remember, they lost Sean Bradley last week, and so I'm not giving names that anybody may even be familiar with, but McPherson and Sean Bradley were both guys who figured as key special teams players this year. And the Eagles special teams last year was very thin, and so losing those two guys doesn't make me feel like they're going to be better covering kicks and punts. And so, again, teams in the league have bigger problems than that, but I'm a special teams nerd. I like to have guys on special teams I trust.
As Zach McPherson, first 2 years was here at Penn State.
That's right.
Liked him as a player, really liked him as a person, and his brother Josh was one of my interns at Channel 3. So,
oh, wow. How about that?
That one's a little more personal for me.
Yeah, it was really a shame. He got carted off. You know, you always hate to see that, and you didn't know what it was, you know, ankle, so it turned out to be an Achilles. So that's a real rough one.
So let me ask you about, you mentioned the practices controlled. What? Give me the value of each. What is the value you take out of a controlled practice against an opposition? This week it was the Browns. And what value do you take out of a preseason game? So value of each.
Much more value now out of the controlled practices, which is unfortunate for fans and season ticket holders who have to pay money to go to these preseason games, and it's a waste of everybody's time. But what they do in the controlled scrimmages is the two head coaches get together ahead of time and they say, okay, you know, so we'd like to spend 15 minutes. We'd like to run our red zone offense 10 times. And so it's like, okay, well, then we'll have our defense out there.
Mm-hmm.
We want to run 3rd and 1. So they, you know, they do that. So they each set up, as you said, controlled situations where they get to really focus on things that they want to focus on. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And anything can come up in a game, and you don't know what it's going to be. And so you may go an entire game and not get to work on the things you want to work on. Controlled scrimmages allow you to do that. I think that's very valuable. The value of a game, I guess, is that it is a live event in front of 60,000 people, and it's just a different atmosphere. And so you're putting players into that. But I got to tell you, the way the fans who come to these games, what's nice about it is everybody brings their kids. I did the pregame show yesterday, and I got to tell you that place was packed with kids who were 5 and 7 and 9 years old, which is great because it's their first game. But it's not a typical crowd, and it's not a typical game, and it's guys wearing uniforms that were wearing green and orange uniforms, but it wasn't really football.
Right. No, I understand it. Completely understand it. I always will feel that I agree with you about the both. I thought you gave great analysis of the positives of both. Because, I mean, there is value to me, especially if I'm trying to determine roster spots 30 through 46, who can then handle the unpredictable situations as opposed to a controlled one.
Right.
A controlled one tells me about situations because things I need to know. So you're spot on there. And the game part tells me how do you handle the unpredictable.
Yeah, and who's going to get a penalty when you can't afford a penalty, right? Things like
that are
things that turn up. And by the way, referees really enjoy calling penalties in preseason games. Oh, my goodness gracious. That thing, I feel like it just ended 2 hours ago. Like I'm still down there watching the referees throw flags.
See, and you make a great point about that because they are told about, quote, points of emphasis.
Yep.
So they take these preseason games and they try to get those points of emphasis with the idea that when the regular season starts, you'll understand how we're calling it, and it really drags the game into the abyss.
Yep, and every year it's something, and this year, and like last year, this year it is, I don't even want to say late hits, but what they consider dangerous hits. They're really trying to get those out of the game. You played the fumble recovery, or the forced fumble that occurred in the game, and N'Kobe Dean, the play before that, got hit for a penalty for a cheap shot, which was, in slow motion, it was a cheap shot. In regular speed, it was not. But they're going to call those now.
It's amazing. In slow motion, it was. But in real time, you're like, it looks like a football play.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, you watch it in real time, and two guys are running, and one guy hits another.
Yeah.
You know, these things happen. The runner, who was their quarterback, kind of dipped down right before the hit. Could N'Kobe Dean have pulled up and not completed the hit? I guess, but, you know, he's running pretty fast. Let me put it this way. If I'm the coach, I'm Nick Sirianni, and I'm going through the tape today, and I see that penalty, I am not giving him a hard time about that.
No. I agree with you. I mean, I'd be like, hey, good football play.
Yeah.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
I know for football, I was asked last night by somebody who's been the surprise of the Penn State camp, and I said, I'll tell you what I told Dave Revson of BTN. The biggest surprise of the Penn State camp so far is there hasn't been a surprise. So I'll ask you the question about Eagles camp. Has there been a surprise, and if so, what might that be?
Let me think. This is a team with very, very... I mean, there really aren't jobs up for for grabs. I think...
Right.
I mean, you know all of the starters. Let me just think out loud. Other than the punter, which you really don't know yet because I don't think they have one. Again, we're talking about small things, right? We're talking about backup quarterbacks and punters and things like that.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles punter is going to be whoever gets cut by somebody a couple days before the season, because both of the guys they have in camp aren't very good. So I maybe, if I'm going to give you a surprise, I would tell you that I think Landon Dickerson has been better than maybe people expected. He stepped in at right guard. It was his opportunity, and everybody is really glowing about how he's doing. Now, I can't tell you I'm smart enough to evaluate how – I'm sorry, left guard. I'm not smart enough. You know what? And I just said that wrong. Pardon me. Let me back up.
Yeah.
Cam Jurgens has stepped in at right guard and done a really good job. Better, I think, than people might have expected. And again, it's – I can't judge that, but that is the talk.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, but that's a good thing. When you're sitting there, there aren't a lot of surprises, and you know you have some good stuff. That's fine.
Yeah.
Obviously, Hurts is going to be a preseason no-show.
Yeah.
So practice and in controlled situations. Where do you think he's a little bit better?
I think he's a little bit better, and it has nothing to do with the actual practice. This is now his team, and he did a great job last year as a young guy stepping in, earning the respect of his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened because guys like Jason Kelce, guys like Lane Johnson kind of made it clear that that's the way it was going to go, which was, you know, when those veterans show you the respect, everybody's got to go along for the ride. But now I think Hurts is even more confident, and he speaks for the team. He's when he addresses the media, I don't want to say he's better at it, but he just glows starting star quarterback now.
Yeah.
And I think he's taken that step up in terms of belief in himself and the belief teammates have in him. That's what I would say. He's an established star in the league, and he's comfortable with it.
One more. I apologize. I was going to let
that's
you go.
Right.
But it's about DeAndre Swift. I mean, he's brought in with the idea that with Miles Sanders going to Colorado, you know, Gainwell's there and so forth, and Gainwell played last night. Any thoughts on him?
You know, I don't know yet how they're going to do that, and Nick doesn't reveal anything because they have good depth at that position now with Gainwell, who finished the year very strongly. You remember, down the stretch into the playoffs, Gainwell was very good. They brought in Rashad Penny, who, when he played for Seattle, was really good, and he had a couple very effective runs. And then they brought in Swift. So instinctively, I think Swift is going to be the lead guy, and I would put an over-under at 900-something rushing yards for him this year, and a lot of receiving yards. He should be. Or will the coach, like other teams, like other coaches do, kind of rotate these guys more?
Yeah.
And, you know, either by opponent, you know, like we're playing this team this week, I think Swift would be particularly effective against this team. By the way, against the Giants, you got to play Boston Scott. That we know.
Right. He's an automatic 150-yard
night. I don't know yet, because there's really no way to know yet whether Nick is going to go with a quartet of running backs, which he could, or really make Swift the bell cow. So that's an open question that I'm dying to see how it happens. There's so many players on this team who you got to get the ball to. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. And Jalen Hurts is going to run the ball sometimes because he's great at it. So I don't know how this is going to play out. What I would say is I would not take Swift. Swift is a guy who somebody may take in the first round of their fantasy draft and regret it, or somebody may get him in the fourth round of the fantasy draft and he'll win the league for you. So I wish I could give your listeners some conclusive answer to that, but I got my draft coming up and I have no idea what to do there.
Glenn, outstanding as always. I always enjoy talking to you. Thanks so much for all the great information.
It's always my pleasure, and tell that Brewers outlet I got to find my way to that place.
We will. It'll be worth it to you, my friend.
All right, be well.